The following is a presentation of the Town of North Hempstead's Project Independence and WCWP. Welcome to Project Independence and You.
Okay, welcome back. That was quite an interesting session with Max Rickman on a topic that I think is very, very important to all of us. Now we will be going into old-time radio, where we will be hearing a show that goes back to May 23rd, 1939. I was 2.5 at the time, so I don't remember this show. But anyhow, it was Fibber McGee and Molly on a show called The Stalk. So enjoy, and we'll talk.
Marion and Jim Jordan as Fibber McGee and Molly, with Donald Novis, the Four Notes, and Billy Mills Orchestra. The show opens with Rise and Shine. At the Bon Ton department store. So Molly has left Fibber to finish his breakfast alone. And here in the living room at 79 Wistful Vista, with the morning paper in his left hand and a saucer of coffee in his right, we find the, quote, master, unquote, of 79 Wistful Vista, Fibber McGee.
United States cruisers Quincy, San Francisco, and Tuscaloosa arrive in South America on goodwill tour. Wonder why they always send battleships on a goodwill tour. It's like sending Boris Karloff to deliver your valentines. Come in.
Is this the Does Fibber McGee live here?
You betcha, bud. I'm Fibber McGee.
Okay, here's a cablegram. Here's a wire for your wife.
Oh, a wire for Molly, huh? Wonder who this is from.
Search me. I never see the interior. All I see is the outside.
Oh. Where do I sign, bud? Right here?
No, on the fourth line from the bottom. Oh, sign it any place.
Okay, bud. How do you like working as a telegraph messenger, bud?
Oh, it's quite congenial. It's not bad. The hardest part of it is when they ask me to sing a birthday greeting over the telephone. Boy, is that tough.
That guy ought to be good at singing sentimental messages over the phone. He's got a nice catch in his throat. I wonder if I ought to open up this telegram. Hope that ain't that messenger again. I was hoping he wouldn't notice I didn't give him a tip. Come in.
Oh, hello, Mr. McGee. Me bring him back laundry. Ah, mongo hurry, tongo hurry. $2 flawless license, please.
Okay, Gooey Fooey, here you are.
Oh, thank you very much. Okay. Thank you very much.
By the way, Gooey Fooey, what do you do with all the money you make?
It's very expensive for keeping a son in a college.
Oh, I see.
But not much longer. Our son, he graduates from Colgate in June.
Oh, that's so. Graduates from Colgate, eh? That's fine. Did he make any of the teams?
He tried really hard for make a football, basketball, track team, and lowing on clue.
Lowing on clue. Oh, you mean rowing on the crew.
Yeah.
Didn't he make any of them, Gooey?
Oh, no, he's studying too hard, you see. All the muscles in the brains, no brains in the muscles.
Well, that's tough. Too bad, though, he couldn't win his letter after 4 years at Colgate.
That's what he said, too.
That's tough.
Yeah, he said, long time, no see. Goodbye now. Come on.
Takes a guy with a happy faculty of winning football games to make the faculty happy. Don't you get it, Molly? I said, oh, she ain't here, is she? Dad ratted, if every knock's a boost, I ought to be higher than a kite. Oh, hi, little girl.
Hi, mister.
What's on your mind?
Hmm?
I says, what's on your mind? What do you want?
Will you please tell me a story? Will you please,
Oh, go on, sister. I ain't got time to tell you a story. Why don't you go on home and ask your mama to tell you a story?
Well, you got my mama, I betcha.
Oh, yeah? What gave you that idea?
Well, gee, my mom said you're the biggest storyteller she ever knew.
Oh. She did, eh? I says, what's the... I mean, she don't... All right, I'll tell you a story. Once upon a time, there was three bears.
Mm, I bet you've heard that one, I bet
you. Oh, you have, eh? Mm-hmm. Well, you just wait till I get to the part where Goldilocks comes in. That's the love interest. Bear meets girl. Once upon a time, there were three bears, and their names was Winkin, Blinkin, and Nod.
That's that old Hollywood stuff, I bet you.
That rat, quit interrupting me, will you? What's Winkin' and Blinkin' and Nod got to do with Hollywood, anyhow?
Well, I asked my papa who Winkin', Blinkin' and Nod were, and he said it was two producers and a yes man.
Ah, dear. Well, we don't seem to be getting any place, sis.
Sure.
Huh?
Hmm?
If you know so much more about my stories than I do, go on out and sit on the porch and tell yourself one.
I bet you I can't, I bet you.
You can't tell yourself a story?
No, I can't sit down.
Oh. Why not?
Hmm?
I says, why can't you sit down?
I got spanked.
Oh. Well, that's the best news I've heard. Who spanked you and what for?
My papa. Because I got bad marks in spelling, I bet you.
Oh, you did, huh?
Sure. My papa promised me a bicycle if I got good marks in spelling, but... Gee, am I lousy.
You shouldn't have ought to talk like that, sis. Besides, if your papa promised you a bicycle, you should have studied harder.
I couldn't. I've been too busy.
Busy doing what?
Learning to ride a bicycle. What's so wrong, mister?
Just the way you look.
Al Nova singing the way you look tonight. And Don, the way you sung tonight was swell.
Oh, it certainly was, Mr. Novus. I'm glad I got home in time to hear it. I've been downtown buying a new hat.
Gee, the one you have on, Molly? It's beautiful.
Hey, I think so, too, Molly. That's what I call a hat. Makes you look 10 years younger.
20 years.
30 years.
Who'll make it 40?
40!
Sold! 40 years younger to the gentleman in the blue shirt. Does anyone want to carry me piggyback?
No fooling, Molly. That's the best-looking hat you've had in years.
Well, I'm glad you think so. It's the only hat I've had in years.
What you mean?
Well, this is the old one.
Uh-oh. Well, Molly, you're one of those girls who just has a knack of wearing clothes.
Oh, now, go on.
I wish you'd teach Fibber the secret. His pants are so baggy at the knees, he always looks like he's on his way home from a crap game. Well, see you later, folks.
Oh, my, he's a nice boy, isn't he, McGee?
Oh, yeah, in a crude sort of way. Yeah. Oh, by the way, Molly, here's a cablegram for you.
A cablegram? Well,
yeah.
For goodness sake, I wonder who this is from.
I don't know.
Well, heavenly days. It's from the Netherlands, from Rotterdam.
Hey, that's no place to write to a lady from. Who sent it?
Mort Toos. Remember, he's on a world cruise.
Oh, yeah, Mort. Probably about that talking parrot I asked him to pick up for me. What's he say about it, Molly?
Well, he says, regret unable to find you talking parrot. Stop.
Oh.
However, knowing you love birds, have sent you beautiful store.
Store?
Stop. Should be there by time you get this. Stop. Regards. Signed, Toos.
Oh,
well, heavenly days, a store.
That's a fine substitute for a parrot. A stork. I suppose if we'd wanted a bald eagle, he'd have shaved an ostrich for us. Stork.
Well, I suppose we'll have to take it, McGee. Call up the freight depot and see if it's here yet.
Okay, but I don't get the idea, Mortson.
Hello, Fisher. Hello, Cupid. I hope I'm not butting myself in what I'm not wanting.
Certainly not, Mr. DePopulos. McGee was just going to call the freight depot.
Yeah, a guy was going to send us a parrot, but he...
Oh, parrots is being a wonderful bird, I'm thinking. It is a constant horse of amusement to me how birds is learning to talk like people. There's talking parrots, Florence nightingales, stool pigeons.
We didn't get a parrot, Nick. The guy sent us...
You know, it's a funny coincidence that I'm reading about a parrot in a book just last night, which the name of it is calling itself by the title of a man whose name was Robin Hood Crusoe.
Oh. You mean Robinson Crusoe, Mr. DePopulos.
Oh, I stand connected. Anyway, these stories is being all about a sailor who's being marined on a desert island. He's a regular castaway.
Castaway.
Sure. Well, sir, this Robinson Crusoe stuff is having almost hardly nothing to do with anything except his parrot and a cannonball, which he is life-saving from some other cannonballs, who's inviting him for lunch, and he was going to be the lunch.
Not cannonballs, Mr. DePopulos. Cannibals.
Oh, what is the difference? They're both a son of a gun to be monkeying with, I'm thinking. Anyway, Robin Hood is naming the savages My Man Godfrey.
This man Friday.
All right, but send him back Saturday because I haven't finished the book. Anyway, these parrots, which is being kind of a chicken in technicolor, is able to hold very intelligent conversations, which is just going to prove that parrots is different from people like you, Fizzer, because they're laying an egg before they're learning to talk. But what I'm stopping in to have you see me about is that we're having a little party at our house tonight.
Oh,
but
fine.
It's going to be pretty crowded, so why don't you go to a good movie?
Do you believe in the hereafter?
Quite certain.
Well, hereafter, when that guy comes over, don't open the door.
Oh, Mr. DePopulos is all right, McGee. Now get busy and telephone the freight people.
All right, hand me the...
Oh, dear. Come in. Oh, it's Mrs. Uppington. How do you do, Mrs. Uppington?
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. McGee? And Mr. McGee?
Hi, Uppy.
I just thought I'd stop in, Mrs. McGee, to see your new hat. You did just buy a new hat at the Bon Ton, did you not?
Why, yes, I did, Mrs. Uppington. But it hasn't been delivered yet. Did you see me at the Bon Ton?
Oh, my, no, no, no. But my maid did. She says it's a wonderful place to buy hats. So economical, you know.
Oh, is that so, Mrs. Uppington? My, it must be wonderful to have your maids buy your hats for you. Personally, I like to select my own.
Oh, my dear, you don't understand. My maid buys all of her own hats there. I, of course, get mine directly from Paris.
Ah, you poor thing. How terrible. No wonder they're all out of style by the time you get them.
Molly's round.
But really, Mrs. McGee, they're not, you know. My couturier assures me that my hats are in the latest mode. Original Parisian styling, of course.
Oh, of course, Mrs. Uppington. McGee, remember what I said about that last hat of Mrs. Uppington's?
Huh?
Didn't I say at the time it looked real French to me?
Oh, well, that ain't exactly the way you put it, Molly. You said, get a load of the lid on Snooty Puss. It looks like the Eiffel Tower.
There, you see, Mrs. Uppington?
Yes. I'm so glad you liked them, my dear. After this, I shall send them over to you when I'm through with them, rather than throw them out with the rubbish.
Ah, well, that's so sweet of you, Mrs. Uppington, but I couldn't think of accepting them without making some precipitation. Now, I tell you, you must let us send our rubbish over to you.
Oh, why, that's quite unnecessary, I assure you.
Oh, but I insist, Mrs. Uppington.
It's too much, really.
Oh, not at all.
But, my dear.
Oh, but I insist. Must you be going, Mrs. Uppington, so soon?
I must be going. Goodbye.
Oh, but I insist. Must you be going, Mrs. Uppington, so soon?
I must be going. Goodbye.
Molly, you and Uppington make the golden gloves look like a pair of lead mittens. Well, hand me the phone, Molly. I'll call and see if that long-legged Yankee clipper has arrived yet. Hello, operator. Connect me with the freight depot. Oh, is that you, Mert?
That again. And to think that Alexander Graham Bell spent his life for something like this. I think I'll write Don Amici a nasty letter.
Quiet, Molly. How's everything, Mert? It is, huh? What? He is? They did? He will? Oh, that's too bad, Mert. How old is your grandfather? Huh? Oh, well, it's about time, isn't it? Now, let me get this straight, Mert. They took a bullet out of his what?
Oh.
Is that so?
Oh, heavenly days. Did Mert's grandfather get shot?
Yeah.
Where?
Gettysburg. Yeah. Say, Mert, connect me with the railroad freight office, will you? Thanks. Oh, hello, freight office. Thanks. Oh, hello, freight office. You got a stork there for Fibber McGee? Huh? Due in on the 224, eh? Gee, it's 215 now. Okay, bud, we'll be right down. Come on, Molly, we got to meet the 224.
All right, dearie.